These recordings of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein are provided courtesy of Congregation Ner Yisrael in London, where they were originally delivered.
Tragedy from the sadnesses of the slavery shehiskinu l'shavdom that they began to enslave. So the normal way in which we take this Rashi is that the closing in of the parsha is symbolic of the closing in of our eyes and of our hearts, because of the resultant tragedy which was to come about after Yaakov Avinu passed away. There is, however, one of the most magnificent interpretations of this Rashi that I have come across in a long time, and I have listed it as number one on our sheets. Anyway, I wouldn't have been able to fit it all in. It's from a new volume which has come out of the essays of the Ostrovtzer Rebbe Zatzal, Reb Meir Yechiye, one of the great Geonim of previous generations, a sefer entitled Meir Einei Chachomim, and this is a third collection of his essays. And as you will see, it is a most poetic interpretation of the Pelish Rashi, Lomo Parasha Zusasumo, etc., Nistimu Eneim Velibom Shel Yisrael Mitzoras Hashim. Says Reb Meir Yechiel as follows. Vahabiyu, the interpretation of this Rashi to my mind is as follows. Kilo hoya be'efshori li Yisrael. It is not and was never possible for the Jew, for the Jewish people, Lisvol esol hagolios v'hashivud begashmius v'ruchnius, to endure and to remain alive spiritually with hope throughout our exile and our enslavements, both materially and spiritually. How did we manage? V'rak zos nechomoseinu bagolus, the one consolation and the one, as it were, light in our darkness, sha'anu zochrim, is the fact that we remember, sha'ayinu al admosenu, that we used to live in our own land many, many centuries ago, velosnos anu mekavin, and likewise we entertain the hope, sha'ajem yizborach yachzires atorosenu le'yoshna ve'geulah shelema, that we are going to come back to that place eventually at the time of Geula. In other words, to use our well-worn vocabulary, one of the saving graces for our people in the midst of the darkness of Golus is to remember that wherever we are in Golus, it is a station, not a destination. Our destination is Eretz Yisrael, and without that we are lost. Vehine, so he says as follows, Beparshas Vayigash. If you look into the parsha of Vayigash, Nichtav meYakuv uvonov shahoyu beyartzenu hakadosha. There, part of the Sidra deals with a time when we were already in Eretz Yisroel. Yaakov and his family lived in that land. Ubeparshas Shemos. If you look into the parsha of Shemos, Kosov mehascholas hashibut, you know that we speak not only of our exile, but we speak of the beginning of the Shibud, the Hashibud who aschalta de Geula kamuvon, and we know that the enslavement was the precursor of our redemption. So in other words, Vayigash is a parsha which already shows our roots in Eretz Yisroel. Shemos parshas Shemos is a parsha which was already anticipating the Geula. If you want to know where is the Ikar Golus mentioned, as in Golus without any anticipation or inkling of redemption, the Ikar HaGolus Nichtav Beparshas. You want to know what parsha of Golus is? It's parshas Vayechi. Shelo Hischil Adayin HaShibud, because as yet the Shibud did not begin. However, uviyartzenu hakadosha gam kein lo hayu. But we were also not in Eretz Yisrael. Vayechi begins in Golus and ends in Golus without any redeeming feature. Ve'im chas v'sholem hoyes o parsha zu pesucha. And if chas v'sholem, the parsha of Vayechi would have been separated from parshas Vayigash, that is symbolic of the Jew in Golus being separated from both our past and our future destiny. The imha chas v'sholem hoyes o parsha zu pesucha, haynu shehoyes o nifsekes mi parshas Vayigash, meaning that Vayechi would be broken up from parshas Vayigash, that would symbolize the Jew in Golus without that inner bond to Eretz Yisrael. That would have been a disaster. Oz chas v'sholem, meirov hayiyush lo hoyes o tekuma livnei Yisrael. Through the depths of our despair, had we not been joined to Eretz Yisrael, we would have despaired and would have been reconciled in the worst possible way to our destiny as Golos, full stop. Lochein Hashem Yisborach Berov Rachamov. Therefore the Almighty in His abundant mercy, Asa LeParsha Zu Sesuma. He made Parshas Vayechi into a Sesuma, meaning Sheparsha zu mekushar beparshas vayigash sheoz hoyu adayin biartzeinu hakedesh. The whole theme of Parsha zu sesuma is to ensure that Parshas Vayechi, which is the Parsha of Golus, will be joined to the Parsha of Vayigash, which is the Parsha of Bnei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. Without that kesher, without Vayechi being joined to Vayigash, the Jew in the diaspora is in a much more desperate plight than we have experienced over the millennia. The Zos Kavonas Rashi's. And that is what Rashi means when he says, Lomo Parsha Zu Sesuma. Do you want to know why Parshas Vayechi is Sesuma, joined to Parshas Vayigash? Because Lefisha Nistimu Einayim Shel Yisrael Vitzoros Hashibud, because since the eyes and the hearts of Bnei Yisrael are closed because of the terrible galus that they are enduring, Tzarichim Hischazkus Mi Parshas Vayigash. That is why they need to be joined to Vayigash. Because throughout all the terrible sorrows, if they lose that bond with Eretz Yisrael, lose faith in our eventual return there, lose faith in the ancestors who have occupied that land all those millennia ago, without that we are lost. It's a most majestic interpretation of this Rashi. Okay. So let us now move on. Vayechi Yaakov, move on, we're still on the first pasuk. Vayechi Yaakov v'Yeretz Mitzrayim shvayes reishonot. And Yaakov lived in Eretz Mitzrayim for 17 years. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh asks the question, surely this is a calculation that we could have made without having been told specifically that he lived there for 17 years. Because the latter part of the pasuk will say he died at the age of 147. And we know from Parshas Vayigash that when he stood before Paro he was 130. So we all could have done our mathematics at home at our leisure and discover that he was in Eretz Mitzrayim for 17 years. What is conveyed by the words Vayechi Yaakov b'Eretz Mitzrayim Shavayes Reishono? And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says so beautifully. He says, because, and this is a theme which we have echoed many, many times after this year in Sefer Bereishis, the word Chayim can mean either alive as opposed to dead, or it can mean life of quality. And therefore, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, when we look back over Yaakov Avinu's life, he was born in the same womb as his nemesis, by Yisrotzitzu Abonim Bekirbo. And no sooner had he got away from Esav than he was landed with Laban, and then with Dinah, and then with the Tzoros of Yosef. So if you want to know, out of those 147 years, how many of them were truly joyful and pleasurable years, the answer is Vayechi Yaakov v'Yeretz Mitzrayim Shavayes Reishonah. The 17 years that he lived in Mitzrayim, reunited with Yosef, and without all the problems that had plagued his life up to that particular moment in time, Vayechi Yaakov v'yeretz Mitzrayim shavayis reishono. They were years of joyful living, of pleasurable activity, and that is why they are singled out for special mention. There is, however, we have it in number 4 here, which is the Meshech Chochmah. There is, however, a most wonderful observation of the Meshech Chochmah, and we'll see that this is a particular theme which occurs on a number of occasions during his commentary to the Torah. And he takes the few words Vayechi Yaakov v'eretz Mitzrayim. Again, the fact that he lived for 17 years in Mitzrayim, we certainly know that. Vayechi Yaakov v'eretz Mitzrayim, these words on their own, says Meshech Chochmah, even apart from the comment that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh has made, these words in their own right have a specific message for us. Ha'inyan, to my mind, he says, the theme which is being conveyed is as follows. Sheho Adam, when it comes to the life of an individual, Yesh Echad Shechai Li'atzmo, there are those people who live for themselves. I mean, not selfishly, because he puts in brackets Gamzeto. Right? It means that there are people who realize that the most important task in life is to perfect themselves. And therefore they set about that as their exclusive task, which entails so much. The Yeshachai Livnei Veso, there are those people who whose lives embrace not only themselves, but their family. The Yeshachai Liyiro, and there are those people whose character, whose personality affect people who live with him in the same city. The Yeshachai Lecholololom. And there are certain people, by virtue of their sanctity, by virtue of their piety, whose character affects the destiny of a world. They don't live in isolation. They live in the most universal of contexts. And indeed, says the Meshech Chochmah, that is what the Pasuk in Mishlei means when it says, the Tzadik Yesod Olam. The Tzadik, the real Tzadik, is the Yesod Olam, the foundation of the world. He is a person whose personality, whose character reverberates and has consequences for an entire world. Says Meshech Chochmah, the Yaakov Avinu. Let us have a look and see. Whom did Yaakov Avinu affect? Whom did Yaakov Avinu's piety and sanctity have consequences for? Says the Meshech Chochmah, the Yaakov Avinu, lo bi'iro levad hoyocha. He didn't live just in his own place. And you cannot even say of Yaakov Avinu that he lived in the land of Goshen, that what he did had repercussions only for that small area. Rak b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. If you wanted to know where he lived in Eretz Mitzrayim. His character and his personality had ramifications for an entire empire. And of course we know that this is so. Because we know that as soon as Yaakov Avinu arrived in Mitzrayim, that the famine ceased. So you cannot have any more impressive way in which an individual can affect the destiny of an entire country than in the case of Yaakov Avinu. Shabirech leparosha yala hayaor bishvilo. Indeed, when he was ushered into the presence of Paro by his son Yosef, and he blessed Paro, and of course Rashi b'shem Chazal, that the bracha was that the Nile should come up to his feet. Again, a blessing of prosperity as soon as he arrived. V'zeh sheyomru. And indeed, this is confirmed by the fact that when the Levaya was proceeding, the Levi of Yaakov Avinu was proceeding to Eretz Yisrael, the comment which was made was, Evel Koveid Zeh LeMitzrayim. This is a sadness, and this is a serious period of mourning for Mitzrayim. Not just for the yeshiva, not just for the city, not just for the area of Goshen, for the entire nation. below the Eretz Goshen Bilabad. And we know that this is an Evel Kaved, a period of mourning, Shechozar Hora'ov Limekomo Achar Petil Osel, because according to tradition, the famine returned as soon as Yaakov Avinu died. So therefore we see that the words Vayechi Yaakov V'Yeretz Mitzrayim, they are in praise of Yaakov. He is a personality whose sanctity suffuses an entire country, and an entire nation can enjoy and bask in the radiance of his personality. And indeed, says the Meshech Chochma, we have something similar in regards to Rabbeinu HaKadosh, because he says of himself, and as Meshech Chochma will explain, he says of himself with humility. He says, Kori Anafshe, he writes of himself, V'chia Yehuda Yudzayin Shono Bitsipori. And Yehuda, or Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, lived for 17 years in Sepphoris. Of course, Hainu Shemian V'sonuso Hiktin Kivodo She'eno Chayrak Bitsipori. The truth of the matter is he was very, very humble. And therefore he was convinced that his life had only had repercussions on the area where he lived, in Sipori. But the truth of the matter is that had he not been so humble, he would have been able to evaluate that his piety and his sanctity had ramifications far beyond the borders of Sipori. Abul B'Yemes, the truth is, Shirabi Chanina Tzavach, that Rabbi Chanina, a contemporary, cried when he heard of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's Petiro. He said to the people, Oi Lochem Ubros Sheba Eretz Yisrael. Woe to all the embryos in Eretz Yisrael. As long as Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was alive, there was no miscarriages. So he was able to say of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, as was the truth, that here is a man whose piety and whose sanctity has had ramifications beyond Tzipori. Hare shekvodo hegin al kol Eretz Yisrael. So therefore we have a similar example, says Meshech Chochma, in regards to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. I just wanted to mention, when I came across this Meshech Chochma, it put me in mind of a comment which the Meshech Chochma makes in Parshas Noso. There the Parsha is dealing with, amongst other things, the laws of the Nazir. And it says that v'chi yomus meisalav befesah pisom, if a person will die in the vicinity of the Nazir, then of course the period of Nazirus is cancelled out, and he has to start counting again. Now, the interesting thing, says the Meshech Chochma, is the use of language by the Torah. We might have expected the Torah to say that the reason why he has to begin counting again is ki timein Israel, because he has defiled his Nazirus by being in the presence of death. But the Torah doesn't say ki timein Israel. It says ki tomei Israel, because his Nazirus is unclean. Ki timein Israel would mean he's walked into the place where there is a corpse, and he himself has defiled his Nazirus. But it doesn't say ki timein Israel. It says ki tomein Israel. Says Meshech Chochma, because a Nazir is supposed to be an Ish Kodosh. And an Ish Kodosh, says Meshech Chochma, now you know why it put me in mind of it reading this. An Ish Kodosh is a type of person who brings life and healing and good and prosperity to his entire vicinity. If somebody dies in his vicinity, it's an indictment of his Nazirus. Ki tomei Nizro. It's an unclean Nazirus. Because had he really been a holy person brings life, like Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi to Tzipori and beyond, like Yaakov Avinu to Mitzrayim and beyond. Is if he did not, and keep somebody died in his vicinity, is ki tomei Nizro. Think it is. Olim b'konoach. So let us move on. As we know, the opening section of the Parsha, Yaakov Avinu asks Yosef to see to it that he is buried in Eretz Canaan. And then the second section, where we are going to have a look at in more detail, and that is the meeting of Yosef together with Ephraim and Manasseh meeting with Yaakov, and of course the brachos that ensue. Now let us first of all have a look at the posuk in Memches, posuk Beis. Yosef is told that Yaakov is unwell, and therefore he takes with him his two sons, Menashe and Ephraim. Vayagev Yaakov, vayomer hinei binecha Yosef bo elecha, and it was told to Yaakov that his son Yosef is coming to him. Vayischazek Yisrael vayeshev al amita, and Yaakov strengthens himself and sits on the bed. Rashi, vayischazek Yisrael. And Israel, Yaakov Avinu, strengthens himself, pulls himself together. Omar, why did he do so? Because he said, Afal pi shehu bini, even though he is my son, Melechu, he's a king, is a chalek lo kovod. I've got to show him derech eretz. Is mikan, and from here we learn, shecholekin kovod lemalchus, that one has got to give honor to a king. And then Rashi goes on. V'chein Moshe cholak kovod lemalchus. And similarly, Moshe Rabbeinu gave kovod to the king, Pharaoh, because instead of saying to Pharaoh, by the time this is all over, you're going to come to me begging, Moshe Rabbeinu said to him, V'yoradu kol avodecho elu elai. Your servants are going to come to me begging. Al sderech eretz for Paro, he didn't say you're going to come. He says your servants are going to come. And also, Bechein, we have with Eliyahu, Vayishanes Mosnov, he girded his loins and he ran in front of King Ahab's chariot. So Rashi's given us a conducted tour through Jewish history, starting with Yaakov and Yosef, and then he's going down to Paro, and then he's going a little bit of a skip and a jump down to Eliyahu with Achol. What is Rashi after? Says the Maskele David, that's in top left-hand column. So Maskele David is a fascinating observation. Halacha lemaise. Says Maskele David, Rashi comes to teach us halacha. We should have no misunderstanding about what kavod malchus is. Honor for a king. Says the Maskele David, Delo tema, you should not think, that the only king that a Jew is obligated to give kavod to is a Jewish king, is lokach maisei mimoshe. That's why Rashi went on to bring the raya from Moshe, shecholat kavod lefaro, who gave kavod to Paro. So therefore, according to the Maskele David, the reason why Paro is mentioned is because from the union of Yaakov and Yosef, we might have assumed that a Jew is only duty-bound to give cover to a Jewish king. So therefore, we have to be shown that even in regards to a non-Jewish king, cover has to be given to the king, to Malchus. Then goes on to say, and then, v'shuv hutzrich liyasuye me'eliyahu, we still needed to bring a further example from the prophet Elijah. Why? The low table, because you might have thought, the Yisroel Mumer Gorat Femi Goy, that a Jew who keeps nothing, and a Jew who is Kafer B'Yikr, you might have thought that he is on a lesser level even than a Goy. The Min Yikayim Elon, because we have a tradition, the Min Yisroel Pokar Tvei, that a Jewish Apikoros is even worse than a goy. As I've mentioned many times before, a goy is a goy. Whenever you say a goy gomer, you always mean a yid. A goy is one thing, but a Yisrael mumer, we know, on many occasions, is considered on a lower level. The yod, the reason being, shaharehu makiri bono, and as Chazal go on, miskavi limerod bo. The Jew is a person who knows God. And it was a daskinik. So therefore, the Yisrael Mumer, you might have thought, should not follow from a goy. In other words, if you've got to give kavod to a melech who is a goy, it wouldn't immediately follow that you've got to give kavod to a Jewish melech who is an apikoros. Therefore, kamash malom, we are told, the afila hochi, that nevertheless, Hoilu Melechu, since he is a king, tzorich lachlok lo kovod, you have to give him kovod. And the proof is from Achav. Shahari Achav hoya muma le'avodah zarah, because Achav was a muma, a deliberate sinner in the area of avodah zarah. Umaskoda b'gemara de chulin, and we know that the conclusion is in the gemara in chulin, the muma le'avodah zarah hariyu k'muma l'chol ha'teira, that a person who is brazen in his worship of idols is considered to be a person who totally rejects the entire Torah, v'afilu hochi noag bo kovot, and nevertheless Eliyahu Hanavi gave him kovot. Now comes a most fascinating observation by the masculine doctor. This idea that he is putting forward, that Rashi is giving us the two further examples in order to acquaint us with what Kavod Malchus is, the third example seems to go against what Chazal say in interpretation of a particular pasuk. The pasuk reads, V'nasi ba'amecha lo sa'or, and a prince amongst your people you shall not curse. And the rabbis say, what does the word ba'amecha mean? And the rabbis say, ba'osa maisa amecha, only when he acts as one of your people should act. Ha'olav ha'chi, implying if he doesn't, but he's not an observant Jew, lo. No. So how come I say that Eliyahu Hanavi gave cover to Achav als kavod malchus, and as a state in Tanakh? And nevertheless, it says when Asi b'yamach lo sa'or, that a condition for showing derech eretz to a prince amongst our people, namely a king, is b'yosa maisa amacha, provided he acts according to one of your people, as one of your people is supposed to act. But if he doesn't, if he shakes off the traditions and mitzvahs of our people, you have no duty to show him any covet at all. In fact, you can curse him. How do we reconcile? Says the masculine David. Yesh lechalek bein bifonov lishalom. There is a distinction to be made between in the presence of such a person and outside that person's presence. Dechashehu rasha, because when a person is a rasha, deshori lemiltaye, you're allowed to curse him. That's what the pasuk says. Mikol machem bifonov tzorich lachlok lo kovod. Oh, fine. You can curse him outside his presence. But in his presence, you have to give him covet. The kach mashma b'ahid the bava ben buto im hurdus bereish perikamid the bava batzra, and this is confirmed by what is mentioned in regards to bava ben buto, regards to King Herod, who was certainly not a person whom we would consider to be the most practicing of Jews. And what does it say there? The ilav da havi mistafi dilma ofa shemaim. Were it not for the fact that Bobo Ben Buta was afraid that a bird might go and tell what is being said, Havilayatli, he would have cursed Herod outside his presence because of the Pasuk V'nasi B'yamecha, because there is no prohibition once he's not Osa Maisa Amecha. Afalgav de Befonov Hoyanoeg Bokovel, despite the fact that in his presence he certainly gave him comfort. So therefore, the masculine dover has given us a very interesting halachic lesson. That Kavod Malchus applies to every king, Jew, non-Jew, observant, non-observant. The only difference between a non-observant and observant king is that in the case of a non-observant king, it might be permissible or not might. It is permissible to insult or to speak badly of that king outside his presence. But in the presence of that king, even though he keeps absolutely nothing, like Achav, it is still necessary to show kavod to the Malchus. Okay. So that's the theme there. Now, let us have a look now at these psukim. Posuk, Dalet, and Hey. Vayomer Elai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to me, Hineni mafrecho v'hir v'sicha. I will make you fruitful, I will make you plentiful. Unisati cholikalamim, I will give you as a congregation of nations. Venosati esoritzazos lezarecho acharecho achuzaso. And I'm going to give you this land and to your children after you as an everlasting possession. your two sons, who have been born to you in Eretz Mitzrayim, before I came to you to Mitzrayim, lihem, they are mine, Ephraim and Manasseh, ki Reuven v'Shimon yihiyu li, Ephraim and Manasseh will be to me like Reuven and Shimon. The question is, what is signified by the word ve'atah, and now? And here I would like to draw your attention to a sefer which I would venture to suggest is not so well known. The most famous work, of course, is his commentary on the Tosefta, Chazon Yecheskel. Many people are not aware of the fact that he wrote a small sefer called Sefer Eretz Yisrael Nachalas Am Yisrael. That was a sefer. I think it's called Chelek Rishon. And it is a most beautifully written sefer, all to do with the history of our people in Eretz Yisrael, and some very, very profound and precious insights in the course of that sefer. So let us have a look then, and see what he has to say, in the course of which he will explain what we mean by the word V'yator, and also will explain to us a number of items in regards to Ephraim and Manasseh, which we have not come about before. Says Diana Brass, Lifnei Moso, before his death, Hinchil Yaakov es Eretz Yerushoso shenitna lo mipi agvura. Yaakov Avinu divided out the land which had been given to him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ka Adam hamechalek es nechasov shehem shelo, like a person who divides out property which belongs to him. Sheyesh lo hazechus hamishpatis shenachlaso tischalek behet aim el sheifoso. A person who owns property is entitled to give that property to whomsoever he wishes. Eretz Yisrael belongs to Yaakov Avinu. It is property that he is now entitled to dispose of as he sees fit. And that is why the Pasuk begins in Pasuk Dalet, Vayomer Elai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to me, Hineni Mahbrucha V'hir B'sichu Nesatich Lekalamim, V'nosati Yesoretz Hazos Lezarecho Acharecho Achuzas Olam. That's your land, it belongs to you. V'yata. And now that it belongs to me, that's the V'yata. Now it's mine. If it wouldn't be mine, I can't tell you who can have it, who can't have it. V'yata. And says Dain Abramsky, the Rashbam says, what is the Yato? Achar shenosan li HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Eretz Kanan, hari hu bereshusi, la seisecha b'cho, li topi shenayim. Now that the land is mine, says the Rashbam. Now that I own the land, says Yaakov Avinu, I can do whatever I want, and I have decided to make you into a b'cho, to the extent that Ephraim and Manasseh are going to have a portion each. Shnei bonecha hanoladim lecha b'yeretz Mitzrayim, adoi alecha Mitzrayim olihem, Ephraim and Manasseh keruvim v'shimon yihiyu li. Now, that's what's going to happen to them. Now look what happens as a result of this. Truth of the matter is that Yaakov Avinu can only deal with items which are his to deal with. So when Ephraim and Manasseh are made, as it were, into two separate sections, they are not made into two separate sections in regards to everything associated with the tribes. They are not two separate tribes. Because Yaakov Avinu doesn't have the power to give them more than he has to give. All that he has to give is Eretz Yisrael. He can't give them more. He can't make Ephraim and Manasseh into two separate tribes. V'rak b'nachalas ha'oretz, only in regards to inheriting the land, shahoyos ha'kvar kinyono shel Yaakov Avinu, which was already in the possession of Yaakov Avinu, ha'yokocho yofeh, had he got the ability, b'hashvoa z'chuyo shel Ephraim and Manasseh, im z'chuyo seim shel Reuven v'Shimon. There and only there did he have the ability to make Ephraim and Manasseh the equivalent of two other tribes. But he didn't have the ability to elevate them to the status of two separate tribes in all aspects. And that is why the Gemara says in Horayis, Al Shemach Eyem Yikoru Benachalosom. The word which is important there is Benachalosom, says the Gemara, Lenachalohukshu Velele Domorachair. They are compared to Reuben and Shimon in regards to an inheritance in Eretz Yisrael, but not to anything else, says Dinah Bramsky in the footnote. Abul Bimamad Hashvotim, but at the time when all the tribes gathered together, the Krisas Pris, at the time when the covenant was to be consummated, Chetziyom al Hagrizim, the Chetziyom al Harevo, half of the tribes on one mountain and half of the tribes on the other, Nimne Yosef v'Leibono, Ephraim and Manasseh are not considered two tribes. Yosef is one tribe, and he's on one of those mountains. V'chein b'yavnei ha'ephod, and in regards to the stones on the ephod, the choshen ha'mishpot, ho'yachokuk shem Yehoseph. V'lei Manasseh v'Ephraim. The name that appears is not Manasseh and Ephraim, it's Yehoseph. Gam hanochas shnei mosor ma'atos b'yoel moed lefnei horedus mate mate mikol shevet v'shevet is nimne mate Yosef ben amatos v'lo bonov. You remember at the time when the Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to quiet the murmurings against Aaron for having assumed the high priesthood, so suggested that all the tribes should present a staff which would then be placed into the Mishkan, and whatever staff would sprout and bring forth whatever it was, that would be the one selected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Dinah Bramsky, Ephraim and Manasseh didn't submit two separate staffs. Yosef submitted one. Ach beseder nachla, only in regards to inheritance in the land, shekinyan shalom, which was something which belonged to Yaakov Avinu, hu hashva osam imbonov, kocho yocha. There he had the ability to make them the equivalent of two tribes. And Dinah Bramsky should have gone on to say, and because Ephraim and Manasseh are only considered the equivalent of two other tribes in regards to inheriting Eretz Israel, that is the reason why when it came to sending spies, one was sent from Manasseh and one was sent from Ephraim, because that was in regards to occupying Eretz, etc., etc. So this further confirms that only in regard to Eretz Israel and inheriting the land, only there are Ephraim and Manasseh considered the equivalent of two tribes, but not in anything else. Interestingly enough, the Meshe Chochma also tackles the question of the Ator and now. And his observation is most fascinating. He says as follows, if you look in Rashi and Tosos in Bavli Basra, you will discover there that according to both of them, the division of Yosef regarding Nachla into Ephraim and Manasseh, into two separate holdings, is only Bizmar Hazeh. But Bimos HaMoshiach, Shaar Yosef Echad. Like the Novi Yechezkel says, Yosef is one, not Ephraim and Manasseh. Says Meshech Achma, that's why Yaakov Avinu said, V'yata. And now, Shnei Vonecha HaNoladim Lecha. Now, Bizman Hazeh, Boilem Hazeh, but Liyoset Lovo, in time of Moshiach, then there is no Ephraim and Manasseh, Kiruven Veshimo Yihiyuni. They will be as one, Shaar Yosef Echad. As you can appreciate, we haven't moved very far into the Sidra. I want now to look at a most fascinating aspect of this particular parsha that we're still in, the blessings given to Ephraim and Manasseh. And I refer you to Pasuk Yud Dalet. Vayishlach Yisrael es yimino, and Yaakov Avinu stretched out his right hand. Vayoshes al rosh Ephraim, and he put it under the head of Ephraim. For who had so Eren, he is the younger. The yes, Simolo, and his left hand, Arosh Manasseh, on the head of Manasseh. Sikeles Yodol, he places his hands with wisdom. Ki Manasseh Havachor, because Manasseh is the firstborn. So, of course, the famous question is, what do you mean he placed his hands with wisdom because Manasseh is the Bechor? It seems to be fakert. Because Manasseh is the Bechor, he hasn't placed his hands with wisdom. See, here there is an observation of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Sikeles Yodov ki minashe habecho. Omar tevas ki. The pasuk uses the word ki. V'hu tam lehepach. On the contrary, it seems to be fakir. That's the reason why he shouldn't have done it. Yeshapirishu. There are those who suggest that in this pasuk, ki has to be interpreted al zeh haderech. That he placed his hands with intelligence, ki menashe habechor, even though. V'yafal pichein. V'hanochon b'yeinai. But it appears to me, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, that we can offer a different interpretation and allow ki to remain as it is. V'hanochon b'yeinai hu lefi masha kodam hakosav lehodia ki einei Yisrael kovdu mizoken lo yuchal hakir mi habachor u mi hu hapsol. We appreciate the words ki menashe habachor when we refer to the earlier apostle which says that Yaakov Avinu is almost blind. He's not able to distinguish who these people are. Right? Now, so therefore, Kisharotso Levoreich, he knows who he wants to give his right hand to. And he knows who he wants to give his left hand to. But how does he know which one will be standing where? He can't see. Say Kisharotso Levoreich, so therefore when Yaakov Avinu wanted to give them brachas, Don Vidato, he came to the conclusion, ki hamisadeh, that Yosef, who was going to arrange his sons in front of Yaakov, yisadrein b'derech musari, will place them in what he considers to be the most ethical way possible. La'asos habachor liyamino shalom avoreh, to put Menashe on the right hand side of Yaakov Avinu, because that's the ethical thing to do. The bechor should always be on your right. Uvozeh, and because he knew where Menashe would be standing, Yoda Mekom Kol Echot. He knew where both of them would be standing. And he was therefore quite able to do what he originally intended, to place his right hand on Ephraim and his left hand on Menashe. But how did they know that they would be standing where he thought they would be standing? And therefore the prophet is saying like this, he placed his hands with wisdom, meaning he put his right hand here and his left hand there. Although if you will say to me, how did he know where each one would be standing? That's why the prophet concludes, because Menashe was the Bechor. And because he knows Menashe as the Bechor is going to be placed opposite his right hand, so he knows who they are without even seeing them. That's the Or HaChaim. Let us now, most probably be our final offering of this evening, have a look at the next sheet, number 3. And here, you will already know from the small sections that we have distilled from the Netziv's commentary, most revolutionary and most exciting. And this is certainly no exception. Sikeil es yodov, he placed his hands with wisdom, says the pasuk, ki Menashe habechor, because Menashe was the firstborn. Then he says, very simply, who me yusta? Ki Menashe habechor is a superfluous statement. You know and I know Menashe is the bechor. We know from the earlier part of the Parsha that it's Menashe who's the Bechor. We don't have to wait for Yosef to intervene. We know that Yaakov is aware of this long before. But in reality, there is something special here that we have to investigate in regards to these brachos and how they were given by Yaakov. This is the crucial question. Why cross your hands? Tell Yosef to switch him over.
Why not say to Yosei, I'm sorry, you've got a Menasha on my right, you've got a Ephraim on my left. Would you mind turning them around, please?
No.
He left Menasha on his right. He left Ephraim on his left. But he gave Menasha his right hand. And he gave Ephraim his left. Finish Ten Chochmas here. There's something going on. Avol Ba'avur Ba'asher Menasha HaBechor. The truth of the matter is because Menashe is the Bechor, Mishum Hochi Hoya Mechavein Shiyamod Menashe L'Regel HaYemini Shel Yaakov V'Ephraim L'Regel HaSmoli V'Rakes Yodol Shiteh Sheyihi Elehepach. Truth of the matter is Sikeil, you have to sing the pasuk differently. Sikeil Es Yodol. He made the about switch with his hands, and not in any other way, i.e. suggesting that they change places. And the reason why Menashe is left on his right and gets his left hand, and the reason why is because Ki Menashe Abba, because Menashe is the Bacha. Now what do we mean by that? And he says that is the Tanu shows over. The reason for that is as follows. Sheyafal Gav Shehikdim Yaakov Es Ephraim Lifnei Menashe. Because despite the fact that Ephraim is now given the bracha before Menashe and gets the right hand of Yaakov, u'mishum hachi hoyo bamidbor rosh hadegel, and that is why in Parshas Bamidbor, when we speak about how they encamped, Ephraim was the rosh hadegel, the leader of that standard on one of the four sides. Mikol mokum b'pekude de Parshas Pinchas hoya lehepach. In Parshas Pinchas, when they were listed, it was Menashe who came first, not Ephraim. V'lo Ehud, and not only that, Elo Afilo b'pekude de Parshas Bamidbor. Even when we list the listings in Parshas Bamidbor, Kosov v'chol hadegolim, it mentions first of all the principal person on that side of the camp, and then says Vahachonim Olov, and they're camped with him. Masha'en came to Menashe, it doesn't say Vahachonim Olov, it says Ve'olov, Masha'en Menashe, without Vahachonim. So there's something afoot here. Kol Zebol Elamdenu, all of this comes to teach us, Shelo Hoyo Ephraim Kodem Limenashe, Elo Be'inyonim Ruchaniyim, Ma shelemalo mehalichos olam hateva, avol bahalichos olam hoya menashe kodem vegodol me'efayim. Put it in my words and then we'll go back and see. There are matters which follow laws of nature, which have to do with natural phenomena. And then there are matters which are pan-natural, spiritual, miracle, beyond the realms of what we call the natural order of man. In the realms of the natural, Menashe is the Bechor. He has pride of place. In the realms of the spiritual and pan-natural, Ephraim has superiority. You may recall the Netziv explained that the listing in the beginning of Bamidbor and towards the end of Bamidbor signified a change in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducted the affairs of Bnei Yisrael. In the earlier part of Bamidbor, where we are just moving away from Mount Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is conducting the affairs of Bnei Yisrael in a pan-natural way, B'yofan Nisi. Ephraim got to come first, because in matters of the pan-natural, Ephraim got to come. Pinchas, which already is preparing them for going into Eretz Yisrael, where matters are going to be conducted al pi halichos hateva, Menashe. And therefore, as he goes on to say, the regel represents nature. That is why he says the Gemara informs us that Bero Karodi Avua, the son is the leg of the father. Meaning, the son takes on all the natural characteristics of the father. A Moel once said to me at my second son's bris,
One of the frightening things about growing old is to find out how much more we are growing like our father. It is true. It's fascinating. Pro caradiyamua. So in regards to the regel, halichosateva, Menashe is the Bechor. That's why his regel has got to be on the right-hand side. He's got to be on the right-hand side of Yaakov's right regel. The yard, which is mobile, which reaches the heights that no other part of our body reaches, is symbolic of the spiritual and the pan-natural. That right hand belongs to Ephraim. And that is why, in the realms of nature, the Bechor is more intrinsically associated with the world of nature than he is with a world beyond nature. That is why, as the Nesiv points out elsewhere, when the Bechoros sinned at the Egel Azov, what was removed from them was spiritual status. They're not allowed to serve in the Mishkan anymore. It's got to be given over to the Kohanim and the Levim. They were not penalized by having the double share of the Yerusha taken away from them. Because the Bechor has a more intrinsic inclination towards the world of nature and the world of spirituality. So if it's a question of giving over something to Ephraim more than Menashe, it lends itself to be said that in the area of the Bechor genetically has a stronger hold on the world of nature that he gets from the Father than he has from spirituality. Let's see the Netziv inside. So he says like this, Mishum hochi b'minyan horishon bahar chorei, shahoyasar shechinas olam al roshom, v'chol hanhoga, hoyasar amayla meyateva, hoyo Ephraim kodos. That is why in the counting in Bamidbar, in Parshas Bamidbar, where that all of our affairs were conducted according to a pan-natural way, pride of place went to Ephraim. Avol bepekude diarvos moav, bichini sosum laoret, shahoyo kima'at bahalicho sateva kemubu laholon, ubesefer Bamidbar udevorim, mishum hochi hoyo menashe kodim. And he explains, we're not going to go into it now, Mitzvah will have an opportunity, we get to Sefer Bamidbar, and he will explain to us why, therefore, in regards to Menashe, it doesn't say the Hachonim Olav, even in Bamidbar, it says the Olav. V'zeh higia mishum de behalichos hateva, maras habachoro misugeres harvei, kemoshekosav diliel, perikav zayin posagutes. And the reason why the spirituality could be transferred with greater ease than the natural order of things is because the Bechor is more grounded in the natural order of things than he is in the spiritual order, as I indicated earlier on in Parshat Toledos, for which reason I explained there when the Bechoros sinned at the Egel, their spirituality was removed, their spiritual status was diminished, but the Halichos HaTeva was left undiminished. So therefore, V'hine Hayad Mishameshes as Horosh V'Hadas, and therefore you have to know that the hand symbolizes the head and the intelligence. For Horegel Mishameshes Halichos Aguf Lefi Tivo, and the regel, the foot, symbolizes the natural order of things. That's why Chazal say Bro Karadi Avuo, Perush, Hergel Teva Oviv, Shemahalech Beyatzmo, Beli Machshov V'Seich. Mishum hochi rotzo Yaakov asher Menashe yamod l'raglo hayamonis. That is why Yaakov wanted Menashe to stand by his right foot. The sikeles yadov lihi Yosef Ryan achli yadov hayamonis. You know why? Ki Menashe havo. So if you want to know sikeles yadov, why did he do the about switch with his hands and not tell them to stand in a different position? That would have been impossible. Why? Ki Menashe HaBechor. And the Bechor is entitled to whatever belongs to Halichos HaTeva. It's only in areas beyond Teva and in matter spiritual that there is a possibility of investing someone other than the Bechor with that spirituality. I'm not going to go through the next section, which I have taken from Pasuk Kaf, which the Netziv urges us to have a look at when he says, V'od ayin besomuch mikra kaf,
When it says the Yisimcha Lekim ki Ephraim v'chim Menashe, and the Pasuk then concludes, Vayosem es Ephraim lifnei Menashe, and places Ephraim in front of Menashe. What is conveyed by these closing words? Vayosem es Ephraim lifnei Menashe. We know that. He said Yisimcha Lekim ki Ephraim v'chim Menashe. Says the Netziv, and of course Pasuk for Avalojin the Rosh Hashiva, says the Netziv as follows. Truth of the matter is, Menashe has so much going for him. He is leadership. Halichos HaTeva. He is the Nasi. Ephraim, he's the Rabbi. He's the Ben Torah. Haseichel v'Hadas. People might wrongly assume that Enoch Inami. You've got Ephraim, Ayidach HaMechochem, and you've got Menashe, a man invested with leadership, Kiminig Balabatim Chashuvim. You might have thought that we've got to give Derech Eretz more to the Balabatim than to the Rabbonim. And we bring a proof from the fact that Zevulun is mentioned before Yitzchak. Says the Netziv, it is a big mistake. Zevulun is mentioned before Yisachar. Because were it not for the fact that Zevulun supports Yisachar, Yisachar wouldn't be able to learn. Samach Zevulun b'tzeisecha. Yisachar b'yohalei. Without Zevulun going out and earning and supporting, as the Pasuk says, in regard to the Gemara says, in regard to Shimon Achi Azar. But that has nothing at all to do with our theme. When we deal with people who are B'nai Torah, who are Talmidei Chachomim, who are our Rosh Yeshivas, and we're dealing with people who enjoy lay leadership in the community, let there be no doubt in your mind that Yaakov Avinu has given us the pattern which must be followed by Yosem Es Ephraim Lifnei Menashe, and as the Netziv concludes, V'chein Hadin L'dor Dor. And that's the way it goes. And that's the way it has to be. And that is the sadness when we assume that it is lay leadership that has to be accorded all the accolade and the B'nai Torah knew a kenavisl or words of this type. Says the Netziv, that's not what Yaakov Avinu had in mind. Enoch Inami, each has their milas. Menashe halichas ateva. Ephraim lemaile min ateva. But let there be no doubt in your mind that by Yosem is Ephraim lefnei Menashe, that the order of priorities is Torah before everything else. V'chein hadin ledor dor. We leave it over here, and Mir Hashem, we continue on, hopefully without interruption, throughout the next weeks.